Jaya Karma Bhuva Kunya Viva Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Kijaya. Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuram ki jai, Jagadasami ki jai, Yamai ki jai, Srimati Lasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Primanandai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Hari. Okay, so Om Ganatu Nanda Shagaran Janal Shakya Chakshuru Vidhitam Yena Tasmai Sri Vinapa. So we want to talk about Sripada Madhvacharya's appearance day was yesterday. And we are actually in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is the disciplic succession, coming down from Lord Brahma, actually from Krishna originally to Lord Brahma, and then down through Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya appeared around 1238, and I'm going to talk a little bit about his history. So Madhvacharya appeared in the town of Udupi. Some of you may know where Udupi is, and that's of course in western India. And he was born in a Brahmin family, and his name originally was Purna Pragya. That means full of knowledge, Purna Pragya. Anyway, and so he is considered to be the third son of Vayu. Vayu, of course, is the wind god. Vayu, of course, is the wind god, and the wind god had three sons. Of course, the first son is, anyone know?
Hanuman.
The second son is Bhimsen, and the third son is Madhvacharya. So throughout his life, he exhibited extreme strength. I mean, so many feats of strength, it's amazing. For example, he would wrestle with tigers. Once upon a time, his assistant, Satchatirtha, was attacked by a tiger, and Madhvacharya just took out his hands and beat up the tiger. The tiger just, I didn't say run away, but he scooted away. And then other things like he was able to jump up to the Uttarabhadri. Uttarabhadri is where you have Srila Vyasadeva living in the higher regions of the Himalayas. And he was able to go there, and his servant Satchatirtha tried to follow him. And Madhvacharya didn't want him to follow him. Of course, he couldn't follow him because he didn't have that ability. So he just like motioned in the air, and Satchatirtha just flew in the air back to the base camp of the mountain. So many nice stories. Of course, even in his youth, he exhibited extreme strength. For example, one time or several times, his parents wanted to see him, and he was some distance away, let's say a kilometer or two away. And they just called for him, and he would jump through the air, like Superman, I guess. And he would arrive at his parents' feet. Amazing personality. Another time, this famous story, that his father owed some money to someone. And what happened is that this person came to his father's house, to his house, and he just sat down at the doorstep and refused to move until he got paid. Now, we have to understand Vedic culture for that, to understand that. It's not like a modern day, like if someone works in Wells Fargo or something like that. If they don't pay, then you're out of luck. Or you take them to bankruptcy, you know, they declare bankruptcy or something like that. But in the Vedic system, if a guest came to your house and he refused to accept anything and refused to leave, it was considered to be a great insult. So, therefore, this guest actually stayed there until he got paid, and the father didn't have any money to pay him. And Sripada Madhvacharya took some tamarind seeds, and he converted them to gold. And then he was able to pay the guy. I was astounded at that. So he had like mystic powers, all sorts of things. And he took sannyas at 11 years of age. Interesting story about that. That when he was actually wanted to take sannyas from Achyuta Preksha, who was his guru, he wanted to take sannyas. Well, let me go back a little bit about Achyuta Preksha. Achyuta Preksha had a very interesting way of cultivating young boys. It wasn't bad. He would give them sweets. You know, whenever a young boy would come to his ashram, he would give them sweets. And so Madhvacharya became very attracted to this, who he called the sweet guru. Like, that's very much reminiscent of what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. To keep someone in Krishna consciousness, you have to give them, he called it balam rice with ghee on it. And he told that story, Prabhupada told the story of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told. He said, once upon a time, there was a man who couldn't keep his servants. And servants kept running away. And his friend said to him, just feed them nice rice with a lot of ghee on it for 2 weeks. And then they won't run away, or at least they'll come back. So he tried that, and they came back. And that way he was able to keep his servants. So anyway, so getting back to the story of Madhvacharya, he became very attracted to his spiritual master, Achyuta Preksha. And he really wanted to take sannyas when he was 8 years old. Quite a child prodigy. Just like we have a Dwaita Chandra here. It's a very similar story.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, 8 years old. But his parents had a problem. Because in the Vedic culture or the Indian culture, the insurance, the old age insurance, is the son. In America, you got to pay for your old age insurance. You just go to the insurance company and you pay. It's an hour. You get some, or you get a reverse mortgage on your house. So by the time you die, the bank owns your house. But in the Vedic culture, your son. You know, your son. That's what the reason for having sons. The problem with having daughters, not that they were bad or anything, but they would go away and marry to someone else's house in the Vedic culture. So what are you going to do? That being should be left alone. So Madhvacharya was the only son of his parents. And they were quite old. I think they were about 50 years old or something. And they said, you can't take sannyas. And he said, why not, Dad? And he said, because you have to take care of us. And Madhvacharya said, well, if you have another son, can I take sannyas? And then the father was thinking, you know, no son's going to come now. It's impossible. So what happened, by the miracle of Madhvacharya's prayers, his parents had another son, and then he immediately, at 11 years old, just like headed for the hills, said, forget about that. And he took sannyas. And he took sannyas from his guru, Achyuta Preksha. But there's an interesting story about Achyuta Preksha, which is very similar to the story of Ramanujacharya and his guru, that Achyuta Preksha was an impersonalist. That means he wasn't thinking that God or the worship of God is the best type of thing to do. He thought, ultimately, one worships God, but one actually transcends that to merge into the Brahmajyoti or the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Madhvacharya really had some philosophical issues with his guru. And so eventually he was able to convince his guru, actually the same thing as Ramanujacharya, he's able to convince his guru, and his guru took initiation from him. Quite an interesting story. So Madhvacharya, he traveled all over India preaching Krishna consciousness. He had his different principles of Krishna consciousness, Prameya, which were basically, you know, Krishna is God, and We're all, this is Bhagavad Gita, and we're all jiva souls, eternal spirit souls. The same, basically the same thing as the Dashamula that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came up with. Dashamula means the 10 principles of Krishna consciousness, of the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, perfect conclusion of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, he taught that, and then he composed a commentary on the Vedanta Sutras and also on the Bhagavad Gita, and he brought those commentaries to Veda Vyas in Vairagashram, and he showed them to Veda Vyas, and Veda Vyas approved, and he traveled all over India preaching this, and in fact, even he dealt with many Muslims who were there at that particular time, and I don't know if he converted them to Krishna consciousness, but he impressed them with his determination and strength in preaching Krishna consciousness. So, anyways, that's Madhvacharya. And he also composed a famous commentary on the Mahabharata called the Tatparata Nirnaya, which is an interesting commentary because in this commentary he says the Mahabharata has been contaminated. Imagine writing a commentary like that. Because basically the Mahabharata was not passed down through disciplic succession. And so parts of it were added, different parts of India had, parts were taken away, and parts were changed in the Mahabharata. So he, although he wrote the commentary, he didn't accept the Mahabharata on the same level as Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutras or the other literatures that were passed down through a disciplic succession. Anyway, and that's the story of Madhvacharya. And so then also, yesterday was the celebration of Lord Ram's victory over Ravan. And I'm not going to tell the whole story of Ramayana, but this occurred in Lanka, Sri Lanka. And Lord Ram, along with his army of monkeys and bears, were not ordinary monkeys and bears. These monkeys and bears were incarnations or expansions of the demigods or great personalities. And of course, Hanuman was the chief of the, not really a monkey. He was Kim Purusha, which means almost a human being. So he looked like a human being, but he was a little hairier than a normal human being. Sometimes he's depicted as like monkey, but he's not really a monkey. He's just like, he's like the Vikings or something like that. You know, really strong. And also Jambavan, who we talked about the other day in the evening, was not a bear. Jambavan was actually the head of the bears. Anyway, there were these, and it was millions of years ago, and since then, monkeys have undergone the process of de-evolution. And if you don't believe me, I have scientific texts to prove that. Because each and every time there is a mutation, some information is lost, not gained. So human beings are undergoing de-evolution. In fact, the scientists have analyzed this. It's not simply, you know, me picking something out of my fertile imagination. But the scientists have actually analyzed this to determine how long it will take for human beings to actually become almost like monkeys again. And it turns out, like towards the end of the Kali Yuga, you know, everything is very consistent. And this is science. It's science, you know, just like, because each and every time, I mean, just speak a little bit about science, but each and every time there's a mutation, 99.99 to the 10 to the millionth power, it takes away some information rather than adds information. This has been analyzed. Just like you have this typical thing about the white moths and the black moths in Great Britain that you study in the university, isn't it? And it's just, it turns out that the white moths are missing something, missing the information that causes the pigment in their wings. So, black, or black moths, anyway, whatever. You understand what I mean. That's the fact. And then, of course, if the environment favors one type of moth over another, those types of moths will actually reproduce. I'm not going to get into the whole thing about soot in Great Britain, that story they tell you at the university. So, anyway, so Hanuman, getting back to Hanuman, he was like a superhuman. Not really like people depicted. So there was Hanuman and the bears and the monkeys, and they were attacking Ravan. And finally, in the final day, Lord Ram mounts on the chariot that was given by Indra. It's Indra's chariot. And the chariot was driven by Matali, who was Indra's chariot driver. And this chariot was so wonderful, it could fly in the sky. Ravan is flying in the sky. And they're having this final fight between each other. And there's a story in the Tulsidas Ramayana, which is not bona fide. The Tulsidas Ramayana says that Ravan kept his life hairs in his navel, but that's not true. Actually, he kept it in his heart. That's the Valmiki Ramayana. Because originally, when Ram was fighting with Ravan, Ram kept cutting the heads off of Ravan and they kept growing back again. Because Ravan was known as Dasagriva. Now you may find that amazing that someone can keep growing heads back. But there's actually, even today, there's different little creatures that you can cut part of their body and they regenerate the other part of their body. You know, it just happens like that. I mean, we can't. I mean, if I cut your head off, you probably did. Or if I cut your arm off, then you're finished. But even the scientists now are talking about taking stem cells and being able to regenerate different parts of the body. It's interesting. So they're actually understanding the process that I guess Robin was using previously to regrow his head. Anyway, whatever the process was, he was able to regrow his head. So Ram kept cutting off his heads and the new ones kept growing in their place. And finally, Ram was informed by this great sage, you got a fire at his heart, don't cut his heads off. And Ram fired at Ravan's head, at heart, sorry, and Ravan died, and that was the end of Ravan. So that's Ram Vijaya. Okay, so on that happy note, now that we did our due diligence and spoke about these two great personalities, I will allow the devotees to make some offerings. Is that all right? So who's first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I'll take the soft so everybody can hear me a little louder. But,
maybe you take the microphone.
Okay.
We could do more offerings tonight during my class.
I'm allowed to begin with, so I'll hold it down here a little bit. First and foremost, I want to wish you a happy Vyasa Puja and wish you health so that you can carry on with Prabhupada's mission and help us to learn and do a better job carrying on Prabhupada's mission as well, too. I want to thank you for all the service that you give me and my family. Certainly there's a lot of service to be had around here, but I very much appreciate it because I know that that's helping us bring us closer. It's pleasing to you, it's pleasing to Prabhupada, it's pleasing to Krishna, so thank you very much for all the service. I hope that in the coming year that I am able to continue serving you and serving all the devotees here at Goloka. So again, happy Vyasa Puja, and thank you for all the mercy that you bestow upon us.
Okay, who's next? Maybe the volume needs to be turned down a little bit. Because you're getting feedback. Volume from the amplifier. Okay.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. first of all, I'm so thrilled that we get to keep you all to ourselves for months and months and months on end. This is a dream come true. And second of all, I'd like to reiterate what so many people said yesterday, that you engage your disciples so perfectly for who they are, what their nature is, what they're good at doing, what they like to do. And I also appreciated how Joe Guru said that you don't burn people out. You're very good at setting the example of balance in your own life, and I'm encouraging your disciples to keep a balance in their life. Specifically, of course, this year, you asked me to dance for Radhika Kamanda, and it's such a dream come true. I mean, ever since I can remember, this is what I wanted to do.
Wow.
When I was a little child, I'd be in the temple room thinking, I wish I could dance. I mean, I would dance, but, you know, I was too inhibited to just, like, all-out dance. And now that you've asked me to do it, then there goes all the inhibitions. And it's just a joyous process. A co-worker of Sri Arjuna's was at our house a couple days ago. He sees me all dressed up. He's like, so how's your morning? I said, blissful. He said, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get up every morning so early. I'm like, well, he was up early. He was up at 4:30. I said, you're getting up early. I said, the key is to be excited about what you're getting up for. I said, the goal of life is to be happy. And what do people do for happiness, for enjoyment? I said, they eat good food. They party. They dance. They sing. I said, here, we do that every single day. He said, every single day we party. He said, I want to come and check it out. I said, come. He couldn't come because we had to rush off to work. But I was encouraging him to come check it out. He seemed very eager. So thank you for giving us this life where every day is a festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Spiritual life that can help one regrow their spiritual creeper and have it turn into a humongous banyan tree. His chanting can cleanse one's heart. His dancing should enliven one to the point of jumping in ecstasy. His singing can cut through all the layers of conditioning and can reunite you with Krishna immediately. And he shows one how to be an expert in all the musical instruments for Krishna's pleasure. Seeing the devotees do all these with great ecstasy and jubilation, it gladdens the spiritual master greatly. By relishing these melodious pastimes for the Lord, the guru experiences ecstatic symptoms. On the outside, he may not show it, for most of us cannot understand, but inwardly, the ecstatic symptoms are there. Sometimes he may not be able to hide them. He is standing on edge, quivering with love of God and crying rivers of tears for Krishna. I wish to be able to have even a small taste of these ecstatic symptoms. He has given me this merciful rain, so one day I can become a big banyan tree full of your love and nourishment. Please allow me to be able to be even an atom at your feet. Please allow me to serve you for as long as you let me. Thank you for your unparalleled association and for allowing me to do even a menial service for you. Thank you for being here for everyone and for me. I would be lost without your mercy. Your servant, Sundari Radha.
Wow.
Thank you.
being.
Guru Dev, I want to start by saying thank you for continuing to spread this Krishna conscious movement Srila Prabhupada established in New York and around the world. Thank you, Guru Dev, for engaging and maintaining all the devotees in Nukaloka and for accepting me as your disciple. You are a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and I am your disciple. Thank you for allowing me to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission and please allow me to always be engaged in the service of Nitai and Gauranga.
Yes, sir. Good.
Direct services and close association I have with you. And it's funny that, like, even a month or two or three ago, I wasn't even really desiring to be here, because I guess that's how it is, you know, you don't have an attraction. And I'm so grateful that you, like, pulled me in and kept me here. And I am really grateful for your mood of, your light mood, and the instruction, don't worry, be happy, that I'm trying to follow. And I wish that I understood and knew how to surrender, because if I could, I would to you. And I'm trying to find myself, and you're facilitating that so lovingly, tall, you're so tolerant, and I hope that I can one day, and that I can do really amazing things for you, not because I'm amazing, but because you are.
Amen.
definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Such a shame the holy name of the Lord.